Right. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of our uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down so where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean,' which happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you all and your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Peter said, "Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" And the message of today's reading is, it was always God's plan to extend the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ to the whole world, not just to the Jewish people. In fact, that's really what the whole book of Acts is about. So if you wanted a summary of the whole book of Acts, it is that it was always God's plan to extend the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ to the whole world. And I want to say two things about salvation from our reading today. First of all, the whole world needs it. And secondly, the whole world can have it. Let's think about the whole world needs it. First of all, if I went out into Bulldog Town Center and said to people, "We need to be saved," they might say, "Yes, we do. The political situation is terrible and the politicians can't do anything about it. We need a miracle. We need to be saved." Or maybe they might say, "Yes, we need to be saved. We're heading for climate disaster. There are posters about this out on the wall out there. And actually, we need a miracle and we need to be saved." And both of those may be true, I don't know. But they're obviously not the category of salvation that the Bible is talking about. When the Bible talks about salvation, it is talking about being saved from God's judgment on Judgment Day. That future Judgment Day was absolutely engraved on Peter's heart. It was a real day, and it was a real risk to everyone who has ever lived. He wrote this in his second letter: "Long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed," talking about Noah's flood. "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." There's no doubt that Peter believed with all his heart that this day was coming. Because in that great speech on the day of Pentecost, he stood up in front of thousands of people and said, well, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves from God's judgment. Now, there is so much in there that is offensive to our culture today, isn't there? Peter was challenged by God's message that Gentiles would be part of the Christian church. And maybe our challenge this morning, the thing that we find hard to accept for some, is the message that a judgment day is coming. And it was possible for Peter to stand up in front of thousands of good people and call thousands of good people a corrupt generation. That's really offensive. And I'm sure if he stood up today and preached to the people of Baldock, Letchworth, Hitchin, Stevenage, and surrounding area, he would say the same thing. People need to be saved, and even good people need to be saved. So, enter Cornelius. Listen to how Cornelius was described. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 2, just before our reading. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. And yet, the angel's message to him was, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." This is a man who needs to be saved from God's judgment, or he will face destruction. And he's described as devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. In a way, I hope that is shocking. If we believe what God is saying here, all we can do is stay silent in the presence of God and acknowledge Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And perhaps Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord your God is a consuming fire. There are a lot of things we do in our culture, don't we? Little things that perhaps people don't really notice, like if you want to criticize someone, you've got to do it very indirectly, haven't you? If someone barges in front of you in the queue, you just say, I thought there was a queue here, actually. You don't say, "Oi, back of the queue." We're very indirect. We also don't really like being a bit too serious about anything. You know, people who preach about Judgment Day will be called people who preach fire and brimstone. You know, they're not very popular. We don't really like being earnest about anything. If somebody's earnest, then we're probably a bit suspicious of them, or we think they're American or something. So for us to talk about Judgment Day is a really, really hard thing. And it will be difficult, perhaps, for us to accept. It will be difficult for us to talk about with friends and family. But the Bible does talk about it. It does say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the Lord your God is a consuming fire, and we cannot stand in the presence of that fire. And so we need to talk about it. Let me just be clear that it's a good thing that there are good people out there, isn't it? There are a lot of good people out there, and a lot of them aren't Christians. And the world is a better place because of those people. No doubt about it. But Cornelius was exactly that sort of person, and he needed to be saved. Good people need to be saved from God's judgment. The whole world needs salvation. That's all I want to say about that. The whole world needs salvation. But fortunately, the whole world can have it. Peter said to the church in Jerusalem, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" God gave the Gentiles the same gift he had given the Jewish Christians. Now, in the context, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it was evidenced by them speaking in tongues or other languages. I would love to spend much longer than I've got talking about the Holy Spirit and tongues and his operation today. But I don't really have time, except to say that this is the Gentile Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Jewish church. And the evidence for that was that the apostles got up in front of thousands of people and were speaking the languages of lots of different people. They were given tongues or languages. And now, the Gentiles are given the same gift and the same evidence. And that's the thing I really want to emphasize here. It's the same. Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians are the same. We have the same gift. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit, but also everything else that comes with salvation. It's the same. Peter could write to us Gentiles, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you and I were not a people, but now we are the people of God. It says there we're a royal priesthood. Not even all of the Jewish people were allowed to become priests. That was a very exclusive group. And yet now, you and I, if we belong to Christ, we are a royal priesthood. What a privilege. We take it for granted that we should be Christians. We could be Christians. But we shouldn't, should we? Imagine if in the will of our late queen, she decided to give you one of her London royal residences, Clarence House. Well, that would be a shock to everyone, wouldn't it? No offense. It would be a shock, because you and I are not part of the British royal family, and we would have no claim at all on any inheritance from the Queen. It's that kind of shock that the Jewish Christians felt when Gentiles suddenly became Christians. This is Gentiles who eat pork and lobster, and even worse, a Roman soldier who was part of a foreign occupying army. He would barely have been allowed into the court of the Gentiles in the temple. And now the Holy Spirit is living in his heart. That is a shock to a Jewish Christian, but it's a wonderful shock for us, isn't it? There are no second-class Christians. Every Christian around the world has the same gift. The whole world needs salvation. The whole world can have it. So I want to think about how we receive it, just in case we don't know. And let's look at Cornelius to find out how he received the gift. And there are two things. First of all, he received the word of God. This is verse 1 of our reading. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. That doesn't mean they just heard it. It means they received it, they believed it, and they accepted it, and it became part of their lives. They received the word of God. Now, what had Peter said to them? He'd said things like, this is all quotes from chapter 10. Peter had said, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, God raised him from the dead on the third day. He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his family. I can almost imagine them listening to Peter, and they're nodding along, and they're thinking, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord. And yeah, God did raise him from the dead on the third day. And yeah, okay, so that's scary. He is the one God has appointed to be judge of the living and the dead. And yes, this is the one through whom we can have forgiveness of sins. And as they believed that, as they accepted it and received it, they received the Holy Spirit. If you were listening to the things Peter was saying and thinking, yeah, I believe that. Yes, I've accepted that. Yes, that's become part of my life. Then you have received the same gift. You have received the Holy Spirit. You are as much a Christian as the Apostle Peter. You are as much a Christian as Cornelius. There are no second-class Christians. You are as much a Christian as them. But I said there are two things, and the other thing is repentance. Again, this is the church in Jerusalem. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. A bit earlier, I quoted from one of Peter's letters where he was talking about Judgment Day. And in that same bit where he's talking about Judgment Day, he also says this. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Repentance is the way in which God has chosen that we should be saved. It's the life change that comes from receiving the word of God. It's when you recognize you're a sinner. It's when you recognize you deserve God's judgment. And you renounce your sinful life and you decide to live to please God from now on. That is repentance. And that's something that happens when we become a Christian. But it's also something that happens quite a lot after we've become a Christian as well. We recognize that we're sinners. We recognize that we deserve God's judgment. And we renounce our former ways. And we decide to live to please God. If you have done that, if you have received the word of God and you have repented, then you have salvation in Jesus Christ. And let me remind you of Peter's words that describe you. I think these words, we take them for granted far too easily. And I just think we need to kind of really commit them to memory and chew over them and think about them. Peter said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Out of all creation, out of the whole universe, the universe is a big place, you are God's special possession. You are the thing he treasures. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." It's as simple as that. The whole world needs salvation. The whole world can have it. But let me finish with this warning. Salvation is a gift. It's freely given by God to everyone who receives God's word and repents. It's a gift. But even the ability to repent is a gift from God. Let me read the church in Jerusalem again. "When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life.'" If God doesn't grant repentance, you can't repent. Repentance is as much a gift of the Holy Spirit, as much a gift as the Holy Spirit. You can't somehow sort of reach up and get the Holy Spirit. And neither can you sort of somehow reach up and get repentance. They are both gifts to be given to you by God. And what that means is, if repentance is a gift, then make sure you take that gift when it's offered to you. If you know you need to repent, don't think, "I'll repent later." Because it's not in your power to repent. It's a gift from God. And maybe God is holding out that gift to you now. And if you choose not to accept it, he may never hold it out again. Talking about the Israelites, Psalm 95 says, "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Maybe there are people in this room who are hardening their hearts, who don't really want to accept, don't want to receive the word of God and don't want to repent. Don't put it off. "Today, if you would only hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." But the Israelites kept refusing to repent and they refused to turn back to God. They stubbornly carried on doing what they were doing before. And so God put this on record for us today as a warning. God said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Don't let that be you. The whole world needs salvation. The whole world can have it. You can have it. And praise God, many of us do have salvation in Jesus Christ. But if you're watching, if you're listening to this, if you're watching online and you haven't received salvation, don't put it off another day. Receive it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that the good news of salvation has spread to the far corners of the earth, including us here on this tiny island of Great Britain. Thank you that we can hear the news of Jesus, and it's as simple as receiving the word of God and repenting, and we can be made a royal priesthood and a chosen nation and your special possession. Thank you for your goodness to us. Please may none of us fall short of that. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Well, look, we're in the far corners of the earth. The book of Acts was about the gospel going out from Jerusalem all the way to the United Kingdom. Isn't that amazing? And it's also all the way to Japan. And so we're going to watch a video now from one of our mission partners, Katie Pipe, who works with international students. She'll be telling us about someone from Japan who has received the word of God.
Hi, everyone. My name is Katie Pipe, and I work with Friends International in Cambridge. So I work with international students, mainly in an evangelistic way, so sharing the good news of Jesus with them for the first time. And today I'd like to share a story about a Japanese student. I'll call him Yoshi. I won't use his real name for confidentiality's sake. And I'd like to share with you about how Yoshi came to faith through his time in the UK and through his interaction with us. So he started by coming to the UK as a visiting scholar. So he was working in the chemistry department at the University of Cambridge for a year. And he found that he surprisingly had a lot more free time than he did in Japan, where he worked very long hours. So he decided to do an English course. And he ended up at a Christian language school through what he would have said was pure coincidence. And at that school, he met me and he heard about our activities. And he also heard about a local church through one of his teachers. So he started going to this church. But at the same time, it was quite a struggle for him to understand because everything was in English and he really didn't know anything about Christianity. Our international cafe, he started going to Bible studies and he started going to an international explore course where we learn about the basics of Christianity in simple English. And he also started reading the Bible one-to-one with someone. And I just remember Yoshi doing this explore course twice and being in my small group and all the questions he had. I remember him hearing about what sin is for the first time and his face just being shocked and overwhelmed as he really experienced conviction of personal sin, I think, for the first time. And I remember him wrestling with the resurrection and how can I believe this as a scientist? Is this really true? What's the evidence? And it took a long time for him to really understand the gospel and to want to follow Jesus. But he did commit his life to following Jesus. And as he thought about preparing to go back to Japan, it was quite scary for Yoshi because his wife was back in Japan, his children, and his wife hadn't been on any of this journey with him to of learning about Jesus. And she just didn't understand, I think, what it was about. And he knew that he'd been facing the pressure of long working hours, of a culture with very few Christians. And it was quite scary. And I remember one email where he said, "When I think about going home as a Christian, I just want to cry." But the fact that he'd counted the cost before going home really helped Yoshi to keep going. Since going back, he's been in touch on Zoom with Christians here in Cambridge, and someone has even visited him. He's faced a lot of opposition from his wife to his new faith, and he has struggled with many things, but he's been able to keep going. He's part of a local church back in Japan, and he's growing in his faith. And that's just such an encouragement to me, how somebody from a country with so few believers has come here, heard the gospel, come to faith, and is now thriving as a believer in his country. So please do pray for Yoshi, and pray for his wife too, and for his children, that they would come to faith in Jesus. Thank you for listening.
Yoshi and his family now, let's bow our heads. Lord God, thank you for bringing Yoshi into contact with Katie. Thank you for giving Katie the wisdom to answer all of these questions that he had. Thank you that you brought him to the point where he committed his life to you. Lord God, please sustain his faith. And I pray, Lord, we all pray that you would unite his whole family in faith in Christ Jesus. And through them, may many other Japanese people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to come to the Lord's table now, and I'm afraid before the service I didn't have time to ask people to help me. So if four volunteers could come forward and help me distribute the elements, that would be great. Thank you very much. Now, this is a symbolic meal that Christ instigated, and this is a good opportunity for us to commit ourselves to Christ if we haven't done so already, or to renew that commitment. Let me read what the Apostle Paul says about this meal. "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In a moment, the bread and the wine will be distributed. The bread is gluten-free. And please take the bread and eat it when it arrives at you. But we'll take the cup and we'll hold it until everyone's received it so that we can drink it together. So let me pray, and then we'll distribute the bread. Lord Jesus, you said, "This is my body, which is for you." Your whole body, the whole reason for your existence was for us and for our salvation. And we do thank you for that. And we pray that that truth would never grow dim or boring in our hearts, but may you excite us with it and fill us with love for you every day. Amen.